Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I sure do love you. it's always great to be here. And you ever feel in your heart that God's going to do some great things? And have this great feeling of expectation, especially when there's change. We've not moved many times in our lives, probably five or six. And you know, when you move, you have that sense of get that sense of anxiety, that sense of fear, that sense of excitement, because you're going to a place you've never been before. Certainly, this is a place I've never been before. I must say that we are fitting in. I went fishing on Thursday night, and I did catch a trout. So there. Next time I'll keep it, so some of you may want to prepare it for us. Who knows? Certainly moving here, we feel, was ordained by God. And that there's something's going to... I have this sense in me that God's not only going to use Ginger and I, God's going to use this whole congregation. This church has a heritage to it. Do you know how I know? Because I was outside the church this week and I ran into Joyce and Randy, who both were on a motorcycle. And they were staring at the church. And I went out to them. I said, "Well, do you know this church?" And they said, "Yeah, we used to go here many, many years ago." And I said, "Do you want to come in and look at it?" And they said, "Absolutely." So they toured the church. This was a church in which they grew up and they raised their family before God moved them on to Hancock. And now they have a congregation of about 900. But the thing that really stuck in my mind is Joyce looking around and saying, "This is where the people of faith got their start." Isn't that exciting? I think he's telling us that we have a legacy here. This church is over 100 years old. And this is a place where faith took hold and lives got changed and community saw life in a different way. Why do I think coming here was a place for us? Because sometimes God reinforces that. And I remember our last meal was at a Chinese restaurant. And in the fortune cookie was this, and don't try this at home, ladies and gentlemen. In the fortune cookie was this. And Mike, would you read that for us?
Said, "You are about to embark on a most delightful journey."
I guess you're lucky.
When I say don't try this at home, I don't believe in fortunes. But I do believe that God talks to all of us. I do believe that. And I think God's talking to us as far as being people of faith and people that expect God to work in their lives and expect God to work in the community. Today we're going to go to Joshua, one of my favorite books of the Bible. And Ginger will warn you that I say that about all the books, maybe because I feel that way. But Joshua was a leader who expected. He was a leader that was one of the first to spy out the promised land when Moses when Moses led the people out of Egypt. He was one of the ones that didn't look at the giants. He was one of the ones that looked at God's promises. This sermon is a fifth part of a six-part series, on being what He's made us to be as a church and a people of God. And is called We Will Expect. Okay, let's review them. We want to become the church that God's made. We will. That's right. We will
give hope.
And we will be holy and model. Okay. So let's go to Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 1 through 17. But before we do this, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I expect to hear from God today. So once you do that, I expect to hear from God today. Come on, don't be shy. Tap him on the shoulder. Let's go to Joshua chapter 3, verse 1 through 17. Which, by the way, is a whole chapter. So we're going to study a whole chapter today. So let's go to it. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark, and do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgazites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the ark of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love your word and we cherish it. And today, Lord, you're going to use my lips, such uncircumcised lips, to review your words and to impart to us some wisdom about how we cross over the Jordans of our lives. With that, Lord, I ask that you use me, that your anointing is here, that your presence is here, so that we may understand more about this walk with you and how we stop seeing obstacles, but we see victory in everything we do. Help us to become people who expect you to operate in our lives. And I pray this in your holy and precious name. And all God's people said, amen. How do you cross over the promised land? I know we ask ourselves all that question all the time. I mean, how do we get victory over those things that pull us back? And how do we step into the promises that God has for us? I think that's all mapped out right here in the story of Joshua and the people ready to go across the Jordan. Let me give you some background just to refresh your memory of where we are and what's going on. You know that Moses was prohibited to going across into the promised land. He had taken matters into his own hands, and in that, God says, you will not see the promised land. The other thing that had happened is that God more or less said, your generation's not going to make it, but the next generation is. There's only two people from that generation that did go over to the promised land that didn't make it. And they were Joshua and Caleb. They were also the only two spies that spied out the promised land, 2 out of 12 that spied out the promised land while they were in the desert. They were the only two that says, I see milk and honey. And the other 10 saw giants. To me, it's one of the most tragic stories of all. Because here you were, with victory given to the Israelites, but they failed to come across the Jordan. Because this time, when Joshua took over and was a leader of a new generation, he's a leader of a new generation. When Joshua took over to become leader of the new generation, he sent 2 spies into the land of Jericho. The 2 spies went to Rahab, who was a prostitute, but knew of their God. And more or less, Rahab says, we've been afraid of you since the first. And we've been afraid of your God. And we've been afraid of your God of heaven and your God of earth. Because your God parted the Red Sea to get you out of Egypt. Isn't that tragic? 40 years of walking in the desert, when victory was theirs to have, because the people of Israel looked at the giants and not the promises of God. This is where we stand here on these verses now, because Joshua was ready to lead the people, the new generation, across the Jordan into the promised land. You can see the excitement and the expectation. There's a new generation that had not seen the crossing of the Red Sea. This was a new generation that trusted that Joshua was the man. This was a new generation that didn't want manna anymore. Not that there was anything wrong with manna, but they wanted hamburgers and milkshakes. They wanted the grapes. They wanted the fruit. They wanted all the good things that were promised to them. And they believed in that promise. So the scene you have now is Joshua leading this new generation, to the banks of the Jordan. So what do we see here? We see that they're camped on the banks of the Jordan, and this is one of the first instructions that were given to the people of Israel before they crossed over. And basically, they said, after 3 days of being camped there, that as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant move, then it's time for you to go. Now, what did we say about the Ark of the Covenant some sermons back? The Ark of the Covenant carries the presence of God. So it was more than following the ark, a box. It wasn't following a box. It was following the mercy seat. The mercy seat of God himself, where his manifested presence sat. So what was going on here is that they were told that once you see them, then you move out of your, from your position and follow it. So the number one thing they were told is wait for marching orders. I've been to Israel. I've seen Jordan. And to me, Jordan was not much bigger than you know, maybe a small river around here. Maybe 20 to 30 yards wide. But this was a harvest season in the spring. What happens up here in the harvest season in the spring when the rains come? Flooding. So you would say, well, that's not a hard task to go across, you know, 20 to 30 feet of water. But they waited 3 days to see waters that were probably made the Jordan a mile wide versus 20 or 30 yards wide. And maybe anywhere from 3 feet to 15 feet deep. Not only that, when the waters overflowed its bank, it overflowed its bank through the thickets. A mile wide. So 3 days of looking at that river, they probably said, what are we going to do now? Because we have to walk through this thicket, through the torrents of the rapids, which they say can reach a speed of 40 miles per hour. Can you imagine that? Water reaches a speed of 40 miles per hour. And I can just kind of see what's in their mind. Yes, we're going forward. Yes, this is a promise. But boy, do we have an obstacle ahead. And here they are waiting for marching orders, looking at that obstacle. Number two, they were told to keep their distance and get ready to go forward. Keep their distance. They were told to keep a distance of about 1,000 yards. You know, that's pretty far. That's like 10 football fields. So they're supposed to wait for the ark to go ahead of them and keep their distance of about 1,000 yards. 1,000 yards. And why would that be? Number one, the Ark of the Covenant was holy. They were to respect the Ark because it had the presence of God on it. And number two, it was so they could always have their eyes on God. Think about that. As they're going down a slope to follow the ark, okay, going down a slope to follow the ark, instead of looking at the river, they can focus on the Ark of the Covenant, where the manifested presence of God resided. And then they said, and get ready to go where you've never been before. Almost sounds like Star Trek, doesn't it? Orders to the people. Wait. Hunt for God. Follow it. Be prepared to go where you've never been before. Third thing he asked the people to do is to sanctify themselves or consecrate themselves. Because if God was going to do an amazing thing among the people, they were supposed to be clean. Consecrate means to be holy, to purify yourself, to dedicate, to be hallowed, to set yourselves apart of everybody else. They were not dressed in army garb. They were dressed in their holy finest. They had washed and they had purified themselves. And they have repented and rid themselves of all the junk in their past to get ready to cross over to the promised land. Those were three things that he told the nation. Wait, look for God, Okay? Let God go ahead of you and follow him. Be ready to go where you've never been before. And keep yourself holy. Keep yourself holy. Then he gave the directions to the leaders. And the directions to the leaders was, number one, take up the presence of God. So Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. How would you like to be a high priest back then, huh? You had to be a person of faith. You had to be totally, totally focused that you're carrying the presence of God. So they were told to go ahead of the group. Go ahead of the group and carry the presence of God. Listen to that, leaders. Our job is to go ahead of the group and carry the presence of God. Also, it was their job to take the first step of faith. Their job to take the first step of faith. Be ready to carry the presence of God, he said to the leaders, all of you leaders here. Be ready for a blessing. You know, I think it says in the Old Testament, double honor. That stepping out for God does have its rewards. Not that we seek after the rewards, but they're the after effect of obedience to God. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Leaders, be ready for a blessing. And we're hoping people know that we've been with God or God's with us. Number three, to the leaders again. Go into the water and stand still. Verse 8 says, tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of Jordan's water, go and stand in the river. Sure. 40 miles per hour. A mile wide. Thickets. And they're supposed to step into the water and wait. Step into the water and wait. So for leaders, take up the presence of God, be ready for a blessing, and go into the water and stand still. Stand still. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Not when there's obstacles. Even though we're people of God, we still sometimes look at the obstacles. We don't look at the promises. And last, he talked to the leaders and to the people. And he said that the whole plan is before you. Here we are. He says, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out all the enemies. And the reason they knew why you have a living God is that it said here that the waters will part. As soon as a priest who carried the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, which is funny to say the Lord of all the earth, because Rahab says, we know that you have the Lord of all the heaven and all the earth. Isn't it interesting they threw that back here? The earth, the river is part of the earth. It's not going to bother you. He's the God of the river too. He's just not the God of heaven. He has control over this whole situation. Set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. That's when you know God's real. That's a reminder to them that when God does these things in your life, remember, he's real. I say that because I look back at my life, and I know definitely there's more than coincidences that happen to me. Even these notes, and sometimes I still don't feel that he's real. You've all experienced that. Times in which he took you over the Jordan and you've been freed from something. And then tomorrow you see another obstacle instead of seeing him. Not uncommon to do. But he's saying, remember this. Remember this, because this is going to happen. And sure enough, in the next verses, it does. And not only does the water open up. Get this. Not only does the water open up, it opens up 19 or 20 miles. It goes all the way to the Dead Sea, because it says the Salt Sea, which is the Dead Sea. Not only did it open up, it dried up. It dried up. What an awesome demonstration of God's power. And the focus was, hey, if he's going to do this right here, he's going to do much more in your life. You guys never saw the Red Sea. Guess what? You're going to see a representation of the Red Sea right here. As I delivered people from Egypt, or your nation from Egypt, I'm going to deliver you to the promised land. Pretty cool, huh? So how about us? Well, let's go through this. Churches are all about doing things. You know what I mean. You know, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do that. But you know, there are some times that we have to just wait and be ready for the marching orders. Keeping our focus on when is God calling. Looking around, hunting for the ark, see where God is in our lives. Can God handle the impossible? Just, come on. Can God handle the impossible? Okay, you betcha. Number two, let's keep our eyes on God and be ready to go where we've never been before. I certainly never in my imagination, never in my mind or heart, ever thought I would be in Calumet, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula. Never, ever. But I know that this is a place that God has placed me, and that this is an exciting place too. Number three, let's keep holy and pure. We talked about that last week. If we want to change lives around here and go where we've never been before, and to focus on God, we have to get that junk out of our lives. Sin, what do they say? Sin takes you further you want to go. It takes you, further you want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay and costs you more than you want to pay. It keeps you so far from that river that you can't possibly cross over it. Because you have no facility to do that. We want to stay holy and pure so that we can be in the presence of God, so he can take us over those obstacles in life. Number four, be ready to carry his presence. Be holy, model him. Everywhere we go, we need to carry his presence. Not to be afraid of carrying his presence. We're the only standard bearers there are. What other standard bearers are out there for Christ? Certainly isn't in the media, is it? We're the standard bearers for Christ. Number five, expect a blessing. Expect a blessing when we step out, we meet new people. Expect a blessing when we do something that we don't care whether it's noticed or not, and it gets noticed. Expect that God will hold you in high esteem. Not that that's what we seek after, but it's sort of like the afterglow of a party with the Lord. Number six for all of us is to be still and watch God work. Have you ever heard about faith rest? That is, turn over to God and just have the faith and just rest. That's what expectation is. The priests were faithful and obedient. I'm sure that they were saying to themselves, please God, please God, please God, please God, let this happen. Let the waters part, please, please. But guess what they did? You ever go through a mud puddle when you were a kid? What do? We got to be able to do that. And we got to be able to know that that water isn't any deep than the heels of our shoes. Does that make sense? The water's not any deeper than the heels of our shoes. We're not going to be drowned. We're not going to be drowned. And those obstacles are behind us in God's promises. God wants us to overcome all those obstacles. He wants us to overcome any obstacle as a church. He also wants to overcome our personal obstacle. Any of those personal obstacles. Whether it's self-worth or whether it's fear, whether it's abuse, whether it's addictions. He wants you to get over that obstacle and on the other side to enjoy Him and His promises. Enjoy Him and His promises. Larry Stille had an article on the website that I thought was great. And here's what he says. He said, the Jordan stretches before us and the challenges are too much for us. We must focus our souls on Christ and follow Him. We must cast out all sin and set ourselves apart to Him. And we must be ready to move when He does His work. Always mindful that if anything is going to last, it is from the Lord. Pretty neat, huh? There's a legacy here of expectation. There's a legacy in this building of faithful people. And I think there's a legacy that we can leave here too. And that is to be a people of great expectations. A people that's going to play in the water and not be afraid of it. People that know that their destiny is a life with Christ and a changed life. And to influence people in this whole community and beyond. That's our destiny. Warren Wiersbe says, unless we step out by faith and get our feet wet, we're not likely to make much progress in living for Christ and serving Him. Pretty profound. Unless we get our feet wet, we're not likely to make much progress in living for Christ and serving Him. The good news is, if we want to cross over these obstacles, we need to take the cross over. To know that victory is assured in us because of Jesus Christ on the cross. To know that to come over, we need to carry the cross and be open for the Holy Spirit to lead us. The Ark of the Covenant went before the nation of Israel. It stood and was in the middle of the nation of Israel. And when the nation of Israel crossed over, the Ark came behind them. We have a Holy Spirit that's in front of us, that's with us, and that's behind us, leading the way. Let's focus on that. Let's focus on that. We have everything we need to get excited about God and have great expectations of what He's doing in our lives. So the question is, are you ready to get your feet wet? And all God's people said? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You so much for a Joshua generation. Help us to be a Joshua generation, trusting in You and putting the obstacles aside like they're nothing. Dear Lord, help us to focus on You. Help us to carry Your presence. Help us to be holy and pure. Help us to get our feet wet. Help us to be able to expect change and expect You in our lives. Lord, help us just carry you wherever we go with that excitement and that expectation that you're going to do amazing things like you did with Joshua and the Israelites by opening the River Jordan and making it dry. Lord, for anybody here that has those obstacles in their lives, I just pray, Lord, that you give them a sense that you were made for them. To give them a sense that the victory is in Jesus Christ and the victory was won on the cross. To give them a sense that there are promises to be had. Dear Lord, I ask if there's anybody that is not saved. Now is a time of salvation. We have a Jesus Christ that died on the cross for you. We have a Jesus Christ that has already taken us over that River Jordan. We have a Jesus Christ that was baptized in that River Jordan and to provide salvation to all of us. If there's anyone here that has never heard this story, that wants a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I just ask that today is a day of salvation for you and that you accept him as your Savior. It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy. You just go to him and say, Lord, I can't make it across that river. I need something more than myself. I need you. It's time to get rid of all that sin and to go forward and say, Jesus, please help me across these obstacles. All you need to do is say yes to him. I'm going to take a few seconds to allow you to think about that. I'm also going to ask this question with every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to ask whether anybody has made that commitment today. I'm not taking a head count or having notches, but I am offering prayer for you that God will take you through an amazing journey. So simple. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Put it down. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, help us get our feet wet. Help us go where no man has gone before in your presence. Help us to be people of God. And I pray this, Lord, with all my heart and soul. I pray this, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, Lord.